And I want to think with you just for today and then next week as we're looking at the very last two chapters of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. We're about to take a look at some of the most practical instructions for the Christian life ever set forth. More people, and I'm saying believers here too, have been hurt because these instructions have been ignored. And more people have been blessed because these instructions were heeded. If you want to know how to see your way clearly, this is a huge part of it. I am more and more convinced that knowing Jesus is the smartest thing. I mean that intellectually. I mean that from a heart perspective. I mean that in every way, that knowing Jesus Christ is the smartest thing you will ever do. And then loving His loving instructions will keep you, if I can say it this way, will keep you from a life of stupid. You can put all of us in there. Every one of us, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he has warnings, but he also has equal blessing. The Bible says basically a man will reap what he sows. If he sows to his old flesh nature, expect a crop that looks like the old flesh nature. If he sows to the Spirit, and that's why you need reminders, and I do too, from, say, Galatians chapter 5, and we look at what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience. Yes, take a breath. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That is one engine that's firing on all eight cylinders. Right, and that's possible. Now, we're not saying we're going to get this thing right all the time, but so I want to look at, on the back of your bulletin, these should show up on the screen, we want to look at this idea of that God wants us to live purely, love purposefully, and look prophetically. As a really balanced Christian, someone who lives purely, loves purposefully, and looks prophetically. I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is about, I think, 18 verses, and I'd like to just head there now. Scripture says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do. So toward all the brethren who are all in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. You know, so many things here that are so practical, but yet easily forgotten. The Bible says that you and I are in a very real war. It's this present world system. It's our old nature that Jesus Christ had to come from heaven to pay a debt that he did not deserve, so that he would free us from a bondage that we were locked in because of sin. Guess what? He breaks bondage. He breaks bondage. And we are expecting his arrival. And just like the scriptures of old talked about his first coming, there is equal commands of scripture that we are to expect his second coming. How we live and we think in this day gets so much more, I believe, properly laid hold of when we think about how God wants us to think in the present about our life, how we're to live, how we're to love, and how we're to look, right? I want to look, I want to see correctly. I want to have 20/20 vision. This world is just, just think of what we already heard Ed pray for. I mean, just what's going on right now in the Middle East. I'm not sure what news sources you watch, but there's just a lot of chaos right now, just politically, just in our own country. Never mind adding the concerns of another possible major battle in the Middle East, where this will go. I mean, people's hearts are anxious in these days. But no matter what you and I are facing, we still have a practical instructions from God's Word of how we're to do this. If the world is blowing up and we're still in the middle of it, well, God still expects us to trust Him. This is our God. He is faithful. And I love the way that you take these two words, at least in the New King James Version. It says, we urge and exhort. It's a combination of two words in the original language. Parakathethke, try that one, don't. Has nothing to do with parakeet. Okay, some of these Greek words often sound like... Is that where they get the word parakeet? I don't think here, okay? But that means to deposit, to commit. This is a sacred trust. See, Scripture's like giving you... It's like, here's the way it is. It's like bringing you in on the action. And God wants to bring us in on His ways. He wants us to know how to do life right now, no matter what we've been through. No matter what's going on in our world presently, our own personal world, the world at large. How do we live in a godless world, right? We're not without God because we have Jesus, but the world itself is on a crash course with hell. And we have a permanent solution in Jesus to deal with that. And there's only one solution. There's not multiple solutions. The world will tell you there's every imaginable solution to deal with evil. There is one solid way of dealing with evil, and it's Jesus. And you want to be with Him. Right? You want to be with Him. That's why the Bible says that for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from an eternity lost without God, but presently saved that you would know Him now. And you would bring, your life could bring God glory. Your life can please God. Your life is a testimony of God. God created each of us in His own image. He lets you show up on planet Earth, not for your life to be wasted, but for your life to be used by Him, for your life to be saved. It doesn't really matter what might be blowing apart in any of our lives right now. God loves you. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's so good that you need to personalize the love of God for you. Forget everybody else beside you. We all need it too. But think about that cross is a demonstration of God's love for you. And that's how important I think. That's why I think when you gain instruction from the Word of God, it's like, God, bring it on, because I am in desperate need to know this. I need to know this. I can be stupid. I'm speaking for myself here. Not for the congregation. And see, it's part of it is that we have a will. That will was put there by God. God put a will into the heart of the human being. But God wants that will directed towards Him. And until we understand how that will gets under the direction towards God, that comes via the Holy Spirit. See, you're not without help here. That's why Jesus says, when I go, another's going to come in my place. It's the Comforter. Oh my goodness. Some people like think that the Holy Spirit's number one role is just to convict you and make you feel all miserable. As you are convicted about anything that's still broken in your life, in my life, we need to keep looking to Jesus. Because that creates a healthy dependency upon Him moving forward. So often I think it's like God's just into like just spoiling you. Like not letting you know His freedom and His joy and the things that He has for us. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not graciously give us all things? The all things isn't always money. It's just, but it's the good stuff of life. It's learning how you can let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's healthy boundaries for the human being. This is really good stuff when you think about it. This is the type of stuff that I personally so often realize, wow, every instruction of the Word of God is for my protection. And so often it's like, well, you know, Satan loves to tell the non-believer, God's out there to spoil your fun. And He's just a cosmic killjoy waiting to ruin your life. No, God desires to save you. And save you from a wasted life, and save your present life, and save you for eternity, so that you and I know how much we were loved. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit sealed us for the day of redemption. Sealed us. Like you're looking at a sealed dude. Okay? And, you know, it is what it is. And so this urgency by the apostle, really, I think it creates this overall tone for this entire letter. See, you realize that the apostle is commending them for many things that they've done well. And there's some things that seem to naturally slip away. You know, people say, well, I don't really want to study prophecy because I'm kind of scared of the future and I'm not really interested in all the stuff that's going to be poured out upon the earth in the book of Revelation. And so I'm going to kind of stick my head in the sand and just hope it all works out. Okay? That's not really a good theological position to take, because you're going to miss a lot of things. Do you realize God wants you actively knowing prophecy so that as you move forward into the future that you're not taken by surprise? You know, Jesus talked about, in Matthew chapter 13, you'll see that why He provided parables. Because parables from the words of the Lord Jesus were given so that people who really had ears to hear and eyes to see could hear. Because the rest of the people are like, so often the unbeliever just, they don't really take advantage of God's truth. So Jesus spoke in many parables, but He talked about the importance, and oftentimes a lot of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ would go back to a prior Old Testament teaching that they would have been familiar with way, way back. And you'll see like a scripture come alive, say from the book of Amos or the book of Isaiah or something. Like it's like, wow, Jesus is bringing that scripture in. You and I should bring other scripture into our Bible studies. We should say, you know, but Paul talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. How does this fit? How does the scripture fit together? It's like a puzzle that gets built, and it's like as you complete the puzzle, you can start to see the full picture. Like it's nothing worse than not having the box cover, and you walk into someone's living room, and there's a partial puzzle there. Well, what is it? Is it Fenway? Is it Gillette? You know? Is it whatever? You know, but see, once those pieces all start to fit in together, they make a picture. And the scripture is a complete picture. Some of it is directly for us right now. Some of it is reserved for Israel that still is coming to be. But God speaks in a When he talks about living purely and loving purposefully and looking prophetically, I believe all these three things fit together. And he says here, finally then, brethren, in the Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more. In other words, keep going on. See, what happens to many believers is that we kind of lose energy. We lose focus. It happens to all of us. We're just physical beings who get tired. It's just the way it is. And yet, sometimes I was expressing to someone this week, you've heard an acronym, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Those are all areas that every human being has, right? I get hungry, I get angry, right? I get lonely, and I'm tired. Typically, in a recovery environment, if you were in any sort of support group, that's a common thing you might see. But it's basically admitting that you're in need and that you're human. And sometimes when people get themselves into weak moments, they let things go. They might look at something online that they shouldn't have. Sometimes they linger too long online. And I'm not just saying pornography. It could be just way too much time on Facebook comparing your life to somebody else's life, and they seem to have it all good and I don't and my life stinks. Well, see, those things are not always healthy, and they can play with us, because the scripture talks about renewing our mind. The greatest truth that we have is that we've been born again. Brand new babies that God wants to grow. And some of us still need to grow. Some of us still need to be pushing forward into some new territory. When I think about 2020 and the workload possibly ahead of us, God supply us with all the strength we need through the Word of God and through your Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, let's do this with Him. The Scripture says that we are co-laborers with Christ. Guess what? God wants to use us. Isn't that awesome? We serve a risen Savior. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Even when it looks bad on the local church, God's still alive. Okay? Sometimes, you know, God didn't bring you in here by accident. You're here by divine appointment, I would like to believe. And God wants you to appropriate His Word into your life this coming year. And he says here that we should abound more and more. In other words, keep increasing. In other words, these Thessalonians were doing really well. I mean, he commends these guys, this church. This is a church that he helped establish. This was part of his first missionary journey. See, God has a plan for the Gentile world. You're one of them, likely. You're one of them, and God wants you in on it. But we don't want to make it up. We're not saying, well, I just want to be more religious in 2020. No, 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 don't go there. If you are more devoted with what your desire is, let that reflect true growth, true love for Him, true intellectual understanding of His Word for you. That when, like, the page lights up in the Word of God and you say, I get it. Wow. And it's good for you to personalize the scripture to your own life. It's a healthy thing. When I get up here on Sunday mornings and I read from a psalm, it's because I'm personalizing the Word of God on behalf of this church. I'm trying to bring an application of, this is our heart's cry. Some people say, I have a hard time praying, Pastor. Guess what? I do too. I do too. Prayer, it's like, do you think prayer comes naturally? We like doing our own thing. You know, conversation. I mean, like, my wife and my daughter, they just talk and talk. I just, like, I'm like, I don't know how they get this many words out. I just, like, whoa. And I'm just, like, brain challenged, you know. I mean, I do okay up here. This is good. But I'm a pretty, you know, I'm just sort of, I don't know. It's a girl thing, right? Let's just face it. They know. I mean, we're good, right? Just like, I think, it's just, these moments I just observe, and I just realize, like, I just don't got that gift, you know? But, okay, back on track here. Totally lost the point, okay? And see, the apostle would give instructions from the Lord Jesus Christ. He passes on. See, you got to remember this amazing revelation the apostle Paul receives from Jesus. formerly Saul of Tarsus, murdering Christians. See, that's why many people like to put a question mark where God put a period. Can you imagine if the Saul of Tarsus said no to Jesus? Look at Jesus. I've actually been killing all these Christians and I can't serve you. I'm just such a loser. And there are times in our life that we're going to have something. We're going to have the biggies keep coming back to us. There are biggies that sometimes just keep haunting us for whatever reason. Somehow we think that the blood of Jesus didn't actually deal with that one. That's a bad place to go. I just say that with my own struggle at times. I just say, you know what, that's a good place to go as far as just keep coming back to Jesus. See, that's how you're going to enjoy Him more. See, this is why we're going to worship Him forever. It's going to be like He washed every bit of me thoroughly, clearly. And so when the regrets just... that you can't shake them. And I know there are triggers that kind of sometimes bring things back up. You have to shut your phone off. No. We love you. We love you. I'm just, it was a perfect opportunity. You set me up. No. I think what we have to remember here is that God has a way for us to be moving forward in spite of the pressures. And when you hear about sexual immorality in this passage, this is covering everything outside of marriage. I'm just going to tell you. Outside marriage between a man and a woman. People don't like this talk today because the world has just opened up, our country's opened up the floodgates for sexual immorality. And just bless it. Is don't criticize it, just bless it. Well, you know what? As a person who loves Jesus, I'm going to hold true to what I know is healthy, emotionally healthy. These instructions are emotionally proper for a man to love his wife, for a wife to love her husband, and to put this rest of the stuff behind us. Because a lot of this stuff just was part of our lives. It could have been part of our lives. And we just, you know, and sometimes even for the believer, it still can come up in our lives. It's like, oh man, I thought I was all set. No, you're never all set, okay? You always need God's help. And it's okay that you admit that. That's a good place for you to be. So this idea of Paul telling us to live purely, see, as we abound more and more in the things of God, if you would, the things that God says, hey, invest in that thing. You know how many times I'm so thankful. I pick up the phone and I just say, you know what? This may not be the most convenient time for me, but I'm just going to do it. And then at the end of that conversation, I'm glad I did it. And it sounds like they were too. At least that's what you told me. No. But, you know, it's sometimes we're prone to, and the big thing is I want me time. And I'm not saying we don't need me time, okay? But there's a lot of that me time that becomes commiserating for a lot of people. I just need me time. I need to get away. I need to get alone. But I would say if that is you and you need me time, bring your Bible. Bring a journal. Open up your Bible. Let God's Word speak to you. Maybe in 2020 you say, you know, I'm going to get to know a book of the Bible better than I did last year. I haven't looked at this thoroughly. I didn't look at the Gospel of John. I mean, we give out the Gospel of John a lot at this church. I would say if you want to become good at evangelizing, get to know the Gospel of John. Get to know a book of the Bible. Get to know. Dennis is teaching through the book of Philippians. Get to know. How do you get to know Jesus better? 2020 is amazing. Beginning, at least, is an amazing time to say, I'm going to do this with the Lord's help. And so he goes on here and he says, you know, because the apostle's passing on commandments that the Lord Jesus gave to him. And some of these you'll see fleshed out in the Gospels, but it's practically understood of how this takes place in the life of a believer. For this is the will of God, he says, for you, your sanctification. Guess what? God makes you holy. He does that in Jesus, and it's really our responsibility to help maintain that practically in our life. You can't really perfect what God has done, but you can grow in understanding. And so your sanctification, in one sense, the imputed holiness, if you would, in other words, the credit of holiness that God gave to you by receiving Jesus, that needs to be developed. And you become more enjoying your walk with Christ. You know, some people have a hard time shaking foul words. It's like, man, this stuff just keeps coming out of my head. It's like, I don't want that there. Learn scriptures that will help you in that area. Bring that before God. Just say, Lord, I don't want to sound like I used to sound. I want to sound differently. This is growing in your sanctification. It's like you already got it, well, develop it, okay? The moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you called upon His name, you are ready for heaven. Ready for heaven. You gotta go there knowing nothing, right? I mean, if that happened, like in the next 5 minutes you're now in a car wreck and you're with Jesus, well, He will not say to you, I never knew you. I knew you. I knew you. I know you knew me. But see, now we have this period of time that we really don't know how many days any of us has, and we don't want to, you know, that's why I say, well, I'll get on to that later. I'll develop that later in my life. No, you should develop. If something's on your heart now to develop, develop. I am so proud of you people who showed up at the New Believers class. That's fabulous. That was awesome to see you guys. Like, I'm showing up. I made a commitment. I'm showing up to that class because I want to grow. And it blesses my heart to see, you know, I sound like an old lady. It blesses my heart. But it's encouraging. I see Dennis's class full. I mean, just really good. So, but God wants us to grow in this sanctification, that each of us would know how to possess His own vessel. In other words, the thing that you occupy, your body, is how do you bring that under control of the Holy Spirit? Mentally, emotionally. I mean, is every time something goes wrong in your life, do you fall apart? That's really knowing how to be in control of your own vessel. Like, you know, I know how to go to God. You know what? And that may be that's my best me time, okay? I'm going to go to God because I know God is the supplier. And He says that, you know, each of you should know how to do this, to understand holiness and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. How many of us know people who do not know God and the last thing on their mind is personal purity? Is there anything they're kind of looking for the next way that they're going to get that thing, that need met? And how many people have been, I said it earlier, how many people have been burned in life because they tried it their own way and, oh, they're just so cute. I'm like, oh yeah, they're a human being who needs Jesus, right? And I pray that whatever we're drawn to in our friendships and our relationships, that we are wise for your own protection. Scripture is very clear. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if you're developing the good moral thing working out in your life, then you want to protect that. That's just honesty from the pastor, and it's truth from the Word of God. You want to do this because it can be torn apart. And that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger. It's not Hulk, it's not Captain America, the avenger, it's all, you know, it's all the rage. But yet, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you if you get some sort of punishment or correction. But God is a God of order, of truth, of holiness, of perfection. He wants to give you that freely in Jesus, gives that to me freely, and then He wants it worked out. If we ignore it, that's on us. Yet we're never without hope. If you come to this moment 50,000 times before now and when you die, and you see Jesus, just know that God says, you can always come back to me. Just praise Him for that. Just praise Him for that. Keep looking. You think of Samson in the last days of his life. He looked to God once again. And he did more in his final days than he did. Right? He defeated more. You got some enemies to defeat. You have some enemies to defeat. So do I. And you can do that with God. Some of those things are really still working against us. But I believe that the Lord wants us to know that if God is for us, who can be against us? There we go. You guys are great students. Okay. The other thing that's helped me through this first one of living purely is maybe a life verse for me is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, this is a fact. This is a fact. This isn't because some days I feel it and some days I don't feel it. This is a fact. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You are a loved child of God. You're a loved vessel of God. And that, the more we grasp the magnitude of His love for us, the more we can live effectively for Him. I truly believe that with my whole heart. And see, he talks about here in loving purposefully, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need, because what he just said, don't defraud your brother, don't take advantage. If you know somebody's weak in any way, shape, or form, that you're in relationship with them as a brother or sister of Christ, it is wrong for you to cause them to stumble. Oh, you know, I know they have a drinking, they had a past drinking problem with alcohol. You want to see what alcohol does? You want to see what it does? It just took a 13-year-old's life last Sunday in the town of Pembroke. Because some person just says, you know what, it's not going to happen to me. But if you know somebody who has a battle with alcohol and you drink around them, or you say, it's not really a problem for me, but you know it's a problem for them, you are causing them to stumble. You're opening up that door for them to be weakened by that. And I would just say, as an encouragement to you, love them. Don't defraud them. Don't take that away from them. I know I'm like, this is like, I'm probably stepping on some toes this morning. Not trying to, but this stuff needs to be said. We live in an addiction world. We live in a world that is depending upon more and more of psychotic medications, alcohol, drugs, and you just want to see what it's capable of doing and destroying lives. Take a look at some of the recent activity just in our country with drunk driving and stuff like that. We're very wise to stay away from this stuff. Be filled with the Spirit, not with the spirits. Okay? You heard that one? Or Poland Spring water. Right? But he says here, but concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, the Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of operating in our lives to say, I want them to succeed. I want them to succeed so much. I'll do what I can to help them. I'll do it. And I don't want to be a stumbling block. Yeah, maybe it's not always like, maybe there's some surrendering there of my own selfish will at that moment, but I want them to succeed. So what can I do to make them succeed? Like there are times I'll go out to the car on Sunday morning and I'm like, my car's a sheet of ice because we got too much stuff in the garage right now that needs to be sold at that yard sale, Joni, for that church yard sale, a Memorial Day weekend. Keep it coming. Okay. We're bringing it all to you. But there are times I go to my car, it's a sheet of ice. It's like, okay, well, because I didn't get it in the garage. Well, I'm going to start my car, let it defrost, and I look over and I see my daughter's car. And I say, you know what? I don't want her to have a problem with this. I'm going to defrost her car. So we get her car. Hey, your car's running. Don't forget, you know. But see, to me, it's because I care. And I'm just saying, I think those are things that when you start to think about our life serving people, it's because we want them to succeed. We want to see them blessed and encouraged and grow in Christ and just enjoy God. And I was at a funeral yesterday for the owner of the Christian bookstore up in Brockton. Anybody know Ken Jensen? Yep, some of us know Ken. Ken's with the Lord. And a lot was good. You know what hit me the hardest yesterday was Ken's wife. She smiled during his entire eulogy. I'm like, oh my goodness. How did she do this? And I don't think she's happy he's gone. I'm just going to sit there. Her joy was about recounting how God was faithful to them. And just, you could just see the things that made up his character. I worked for Ken for a few years, and one of the things that Ken would do is he put yellow notepads out everywhere. They were everywhere, and it was very clear that Ken was a very organized person. And you'd often have to sign the note. Kind of like you're on the hook, right? I taught you this via you signing the every other employee. It's like, it must be for them, not me, right? But at the end of the funeral, everybody got a yellow legal pad. And it was interesting to see how he said Ken would often journal. He would make points. And some of those journals were brought out yesterday of his love for Christ, how he as a human being still, he admittedly still struggled with relationships and how to do life and how to live, and but he worked at it. And see, that's what this instruction is, I believe, from the Word of God, is that we would work at this. We would love purposefully. And the urgency here is, here he says it again, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. You know, one of the things that I, to my wife's credit, having walked properly in her life, was able to get Bonnie in the door, okay? Praise God, because here's my wife's going to her favorite store on Saturday mornings called the Born Dump, and picks up Bonnie, brings Bonnie here, and here's Bonnie now months later, here and growing and admittedly trying to understand more and growing. But see, if you're not keen to witnessing, you're not keen to bringing people to Christ, you might miss a Bonnie. We don't want to miss the Bonnie, right? We want Bonnie growing in Christ. We want Bonnie loving Jesus. And no matter what Bonnie's going through, we want to pray for Bonnie and say, God, encourage her heart and just be, make her strong no matter what it all looks like. You can do it. Isn't that awesome? That's really what we want working in our lives. When we go out to the onset, wherever we go, wherever they put us in the summer, we want to be ready. And so we're going to try to figure out how do we get more prepared to share Jesus with people. People actually love, people really want Jesus, they don't know it. That's what they're looking for. You know my favorite country song, looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Looking for love in too many faces, right? Yes, you'd sing it, right? Should we just bring it up in the video? No, I'm just teasing. So, yes, I know you. Some of you just love the oldies. Love purposefully leads to looking prophetically. And I'd like to just see what we can do for just a couple more minutes right here. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother. Remember we talked about last week that God wants us to know things. This is one of those things right here. He really wants you to know. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep. In other words, this is the Ken Jensens of the world that we said goodbye to yesterday. They fall asleep and, you know, they're not here anymore. Marilyn misses her husband, and this happens all the time. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, because of Jesus, you have hope. That was proclaimed so loudly yesterday at the funeral. So proclaimed so loudly. I'm like, I'm in good company here. These people are speaking my language. I love being amongst a believer's funeral, because I know that they know where Jesus is. And I know some people in this room right now are grieving the loss of a loved one. And my heart goes out to you. And I pray that you would rest with God's assurance for you right now that your loved one is with Jesus. And that you will see them again. Scripture is very clear here. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. In other words, the apostle is making a very emphatic statement here. Do you believe that he came to this earth and died for sinners? Let's look at what happens next, okay? Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, their body is still the remnants of their body. Whatever it looks like under that place, a gravesite, perhaps a cremation, whatever. And you can have you can look at what, you know, burials and what's really right, and is cremation right or cremation wrong, or should you only be buried? Anyway, however a person dies and their body lays in that place, God, if they knew Jesus, God is going to resurrect that body. And in the process of resurrecting that body, he is going to make it brand spanking new. In the meantime, they live in heaven. They are with Jesus. They live with him now. They are forever. And God's going to bring those people back to reunite and get a glorified body. And that's what Scripture is saying. So asleep means that their body is not here, but they themselves, because the Scripture is 100% clear, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's just biblical. That's how good God is. Right? Enoch was taken, he was no more. So we're not really sure, but you know that Enoch loved God and he's with God. So in the same thing with the rapture. See, this is, I love this. This is just so amazing. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, see Paul speaking on behalf of every believer, we, so there's gonna be a group of the we here. We might be the we. Right? We might be the we. We might be the people that are raptured. And every generation of Christians from the time that this revelation was given should be thinking like this. Paul says, I want you all to teach the same things. We should not be different on this. I'm not adding to the scripture here. I'm taking it at face value. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain, we right now are alive and remain. Number one, we're alive in Jesus Christ. That's what this is saying here. We're alive and we remain. In other words, we are occupying till Jesus comes. We are here. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is like the Jesus U-turn. This is what happens. He comes down, he shouts, he commands the dead in Christ to rise first. Those of us who are alive and remain, he comes down, he sweeps us up. And we're gone and we're with him. And watch out what happens on planet Earth. Because that's a period that's coming upon the earth. The Bible's very specific. It's a specified period of time, about a 7-year tribulation. The nation of Israel once again will see Jesus clearly. They rejected him once, but they will see him. The Bible says they will look upon him whom they pierced. There seems to be a lot of indication that there's a lot of curiosity about last day things. You and I want to think prophetically. The rapture is an event that could have happened in Paul's day. We're not looking for so much like, okay, well, what's the sign of the rapture? It's signless. We just need to know that it could come at any time. Every believer, whether believer is living as they should have lived, living poorly, living productively, either one, they're raptured. Then they're going to the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment that every believer will have with Jesus. That is the evaluation. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, I pray all of you will be there. That's your reward ceremony, or lack thereof. And God wants to reward you for faithful service that has been done through the dependency of His Holy Spirit working in you and me. That's why a healthy local church thinks about these things. You know, how are we to live purely? How are we to love purposefully? And how are we to keep this prophetic view? Because the Bible's very clear that we have a future. We have a promised future. Just as Christ has come to this earth and died for sinners and was resurrected, we too are going to have the same thing happen to us. It just so happens that He did it for us. And now we can live for Him prayerfully, unencumbered by the pressures that we face in this world system. But God wants to be glorified in every one of our lives. Everyone. 2020. Vision 2020, part one. Part two. We'll go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 next Sunday. My heart would be for you this morning that what we talked about, what we're thinking about this morning, you just would look at this chapter on your own this week. If there are adjustments that you need to make, ask God to help you. If you're living immorally in any way, ask God to help you. I know the heart of the people in this church, they want to please God. But there's a likelihood that somebody here is struggling today to actually get there. I would love to pray with you this morning. I'm going to hang around here for just a few minutes this morning. If you need prayer, we're just going to ask God to help you, okay? So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to look at your word and to understand more and more of this amazing future that we have and the present hope that we have right now. I pray, Lord, that we would just once again just recognize that every day that we get to live and serve you is another day, Lord, to grow in our understanding of you. Father, I pray this morning for anybody here that says, I need help in this area, and I want the Holy Spirit to help me. I want to know Jesus better. I want to have a greater intimacy with the Father. I want to have a real changed life that would reflect what God wants in me in 2020. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Faithful who he is, he who calls you, who also will do it. Lord, we need to trust you in these areas of weakness. Look to you when we feel so vulnerable and recognize that we can have a vitality coming out of our life because that's what you desire. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be done with lesser things and grow in greater things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you stand with